And so stay tuned. The one way that I've enjoyed this as a preacher is I get a few extra minutes to be able to preach. And you have learned that I need a few extra minutes every once in a while. And so I have been thankful for that. But I enjoy special music too, enjoy a special song before the preaching, enjoy choir specials and all those different types of things. And so we will be getting all of that going again, slowly but surely, and be very, very soon. I mentioned here recently to some of our musicians and folks that serve in our music ministry that what we'll probably do is start with Sunday mornings first and have specials on Sunday mornings and then work our way in to having specials again Sunday evenings and to get choir up and running again. And if you're looking to serve in a music ministry, if you'll just let us know about that, sooner or later, very quickly now, we'll have a meeting about that, especially for those that are newer to our music ministry, and we'll get rolling with those things. Some very exciting things, some new things that we'll be doing in the way of music ministry, and so we'll be able to tell you more about that as the time draws closer. 2 Timothy chapter 2, we're going to read verses 1 through 10. 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse number 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Now, that is the verse that's in our bulletin this morning, and that is our text verse. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead, according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Again, verse number 6, the husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. And so we entitled the message, Be First Partaker of the Fruits. Be first partaker of the fruits. Let's pray together one more time. Father, thank you again for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the messages that we've received already in song. And Lord, even through fellowship this morning, the encouragement that we get when we come together with other brothers and sisters, other believers, we're encouraged, we're challenged to live for you. I pray now that you might, Lord, bring to our minds and our hearts what you have from your word this morning. And I pray that we would have in us right now a desire not just to hear, but to do what thus saith the Lord. I pray again, Lord, if there is one here who does not know you as their personal Savior, I pray they wouldn't leave without getting that settled. Lord, I pray that they would make the greatest decision that a person can make. We know that it would change their eternal destiny. Thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. The principle in verse number 6 seems quite obvious, except maybe for the word must. Should or gets to or deserves might be the way that I would write this. Thank God I've said this before. I'm not God, and for the fact that neither are you. You see, it is not simply that the farmer or the husbandman is privileged with being first partaker, but that he is responsible. Society tends to understand this principle in that the owner of property has a great amount of liability concerning that property. Follow me as I talk about this. It is the reason that even a vacant piece of property will not only have a no trespassing sign, but also a fence and locked gates. The owner of the swimming pool, for instance, will go to great effort and cost to assure no one accidentally drowns in the pool. There is liability. Jehovah God, as I've said over and over again, He is really the most awesome property owner that there is. He even refers to Himself as the husbandman. John chapter number 15, Jesus said, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. And Scripture gives us two examples of Him being first partaker of the fruits. Genesis chapter 22, for instance, verses 7 and 8. Here is this owner of the property being first partaker of the fruits. Genesis chapter 22, verse number 7. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Verse number 8, and Abraham said, My son, now notice, God will provide Himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. Now we know how this account goes. We realize that God had told Abraham, You're to sacrifice your only son. That is to be the offering. And yet God had a plan all along that He Himself would be the sacrifice. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 9, another passage that shows He is first partaker of the fruits. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 9. We looked at this passage last week, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He, by the grace of God, notice, should taste death for every man. He was first partaker of the fruits. Now follow me here, Christ is not only the first fruits of the resurrection, as we saw last week, but He is also the one to partake of the fruit of the sin penalty of mankind in order to rise again. He truly is slain from the foundation of the world, Revelation chapter 13, verse number 8. By the way, that word must is important. It's one that was stated by the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 21. The Bible says, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto His disciples how that He must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. He must go to Jerusalem and suffer because He must be first partaker of the fruits. Herein lies the principle of 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 6. Taking His cue from the Master, who has partaken of that bitter fruit and passed on its benefits to others, to everybody, really, offering it to everybody, so now Brother Paul is passing on those same benefits to the next generation while imploring Timothy to do the same. He's saying something like this: Timothy, if you're going to tout that fruit, you must first taste it. If you're going to tout the fruit, you must first taste it. 1 Corinthians chapter number 9, look over there with me if you would. 1 Corinthians chapter number 9, verse number 19. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. Now, we'll continue reading and see these verses that we've read oftentimes in different formats, different messages, different lessons. And we sort of put the emphasis on being all things to all men. I think there are some very good applications, even practical applications here. But I want you to notice what he leads with in verse number 19. He says, I have made myself servant unto all. So the all things to all men applies to this word servant. What the Apostle Paul is saying is, I have lowered myself in order that I might be made all things to all men. Now notice what he says in verse number 20, and unto the Jews I became as a Jew. Now wait a minute. Paul, you're already a Jew. That's how you were born. That's how you were raised. That's your bloodline. And yet, Paul was a believer. His eternity had been changed. His nature had been changed. He was different. But he said to the Jews, I became as a Jew. I lowered myself to become as a Jew that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, the Gentiles, that I might gain them that are without law. He says, this is not my position. I am a child of God. I am raised up in heavenly places in Jesus Christ, but I have made myself servant to all. He continues, to the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be, here it is, partaker thereof with you. Partaker. So we must be first partaker of the fruits. Now I want you to notice the three figures that are given here in this chapter, 2 Timothy chapter 2. A son, a soldier, and an athlete. A son, a soldier, and an athlete. And consider the distinct characteristics which would cause one to be first partaker of the fruits. I hope you're going to follow me with this, and we'll draw it to a close here at the end. But I think even as he's writing this under inspiration of the Spirit of God, maybe he's hoping and praying that Timothy would understand, because he says in verse number 7, the Lord give thee understanding in what I'm trying to tell you. Number one, he mentions the strength of the commitment. The strength of the commitment. Notice again 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Notice this. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. The strength of commitment. Now, we talk about being strong and being strong in the Lord and all these types of things. It just sort of becomes a statement that we make and something that we put on a nice piece of art or something like that. But I want you to realize where this is first mentioned in the Word of God. Hold your finger there, if you would, and go back with me to Deuteronomy chapter 10. Deuteronomy chapter 10. Now, we're going to do a little bit of a brief Bible study as we go through these points of message this morning. And I want you to notice these things. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. The strength of commitment. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. Drop down to verse number 16. Circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart, and be no more stiff-necked. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and a terrible, which regardeth not persons, nor taketh reward. He doth execute the judgment of the fatherless and widow, and loveth the stranger in giving him food and raiment. Love ye therefore the stranger, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. By the way, may I say this to American Christians this morning? We ought to love the aliens and the strangers that come to our country from other places. But we can uphold the law and love our neighbors. By the way, I believe Jesus said something about that as well. And also love the alien and the stranger that is coming lawfully to our country. We can do both. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God. Him shalt thou serve, and to him shalt thou cleave and swear by his name. He is thy praise, and he is thy God, that hath done for thee these great and terrible things which thine eyes have seen. Thy fathers went down into Egypt with 70 persons. Hear this. And now the Lord thy God hath made thee as the stars of heaven for multitude. Crossing over into chapter number 11, Deuteronomy chapter number 11, notice what it says. Therefore, thou shalt love the Lord thy God and keep his charge and his statutes and his judgments and his commandments always. And know ye this day. Listen to this, folks. For I speak not with your children which have not known, and which have not seen the chastisement of the Lord your God, his greatness, his mighty hand, and his stretched out arm. Notice both of those things. These people that are now older, they're no longer children. They've been through this period of years, 40 some odd years, where they've wandered in the wilderness. But they saw both of these things as children, the mighty outstretched arm of God, and also the chastisement of the Lord God among his people. He says in his miracles and his acts, which he did in the midst of Egypt, unto Pharaoh the king of Egypt, and unto all his land, and what he did unto the army of Egypt, unto their horses, unto their chariots, how he made the water of the Red Sea to overflow them as they pursued after you, and how the Lord hath destroyed them unto this day. What he did unto you in the wilderness, until you came into this place. What he did unto Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, the son of Reuben, how the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their households and their tents and all the substance that was in their possession in the midst of all Israel. Notice this. But your eyes have seen all the great acts of the Lord which he did. Think about the Apostle Paul saying to Timothy, the things that I'm telling to you, you've heard from me among many witnesses. I'm passing this down to you. Therefore, Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse number 8, shall ye keep all the commandments which I command you this day, that ye may be strong, and go in and possess the land, whether you go to possess it, and that ye may prolong your days in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give unto them and to their seed, a land that floweth with milk and honey. What does it mean then to be strong? What does it mean to be strong in the Lord, to be strong in the grace of the Lord? How do we build spiritual strength? Is it the power of positive thinking? No, friend, it's not. The way that we do it is by trusting and obeying the Lord. Trusting and obeying the Lord. And when we lack trust and we begin to follow the tenets of man and we listen to them more than God, we arrive and we end up in places like the children of Israel ended up. There was only about 11-day journey between the place where they came out of Egypt to Kadesh Barnea, where they were supposed to go in, 11 days. And yet for 40 years, they wandered in the wilderness. Why? They were not strong. How are we strong? Trust and obey. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 10. We preached a series of messages through this passage. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Oh God, do we need Christians to be strong in the Lord, in the grace of the Lord, in the Word of the Lord? May I just say something to you this morning, and I don't mean to offend anybody, but the odds seem to be stacked over and over again against the children of Israel. If they ever got an expert opinion, they'd have never left Egypt. They'd have never entered the promised land. But they had another opinion. It was God's opinion. He said, trust me. I've given you the land. I've made promises to you. I will be with you. What did they do? They chose to follow the advice of people. Ephesians 3:16, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. We can look for all sorts of ways to be strong, but folks, I'm telling you, we better be strong in the Lord. How are you strong in the Lord? Trust and obey. The things that you know God has told you to do, the simple things, you do that. That is how you become strong in the Lord. Colossians chapter number 1, verse number 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, he's talking about the church there, their love for in the Spirit. He mentions that in verse number 8. Since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will. In all wisdom and spiritual understanding, notice this, that you might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Notice how this all comes together. Verse number 11. Strengthen with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. What am I saying? You cannot set aside or separate strength from trusting and being obedient to the Lord. You can't. You will not be strong. We will not be strong lest we put our trust in God, in His Word, and be obedient to what He has told us to do. For years and years, we've mentioned these are things that a Christian does, these five basic things. If you want to be a successful Christian, you do these things. And yet, we hear the opinion of mankind about some of those things, and we just say, we'll trust them and obey them instead of being obedient to the Lord. Folks, I'm telling you, Israel did all these things. They give us an example of what we ought to be doing. Over and over again, He tells them to go. Go, go. Deuteronomy chapter number 1. By the way, what does strength of commitment do? Well, first, it carries. Galatians chapter 6 tells us about this. Ye that are spiritual ought to bear the burdens of those who are not. And when we are strong, we are able to carry the burdens of others, help others who are weaker. But how can we help somebody who's weaker if we ourselves are weak? There was a generation of people in Israel who were weak. They were fully grown physically. They had seen much of what God had done. They had been victorious in the Lord. They had come out with a mighty hand, but they were weak in the moment where it counted. How are we going to carry the burdens of others if we ourselves are not strong? Deuteronomy chapter 1, over and over again, He tells them to go. I don't have time to read it all. It would take too long, but you can read it for yourself. He says, go, 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 over and over again. But then you reach Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse number 41, and something changes. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse number 41. Folks, we got to get real with the Lord and understand who He is. He's serious. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse number 41. Then ye answered and said unto me, we have sinned against the Lord. We will go up and fight according to all that the Lord our God commanded us. And when ye had girded on every man his weapons of war, they're getting their strength. They're feeling ready now. We realize the error in our way. Ye were ready to go up into the hill. And the Lord said unto me, say unto them, go not up. He said over and over again, go, go, go. Now the Lord says, go not. neither fight, for I am not among you, lest ye be smitten before your enemies. So I spake unto you, and ye would not, but rebelled. Isn't it funny how we do this? We all do it. We rebel against God one way, and God says, okay, go the other way then. You go ahead and do that. And we say, no, but I want to do that now. What previously I rebelled in that way, now I want to do something different. We see this in our children. They're rebelling because rebellion is in them. Guess what? There's rebellion in us too. But you better understand something this morning, friend. I hope you're making sense of this. God is not on our timetable. We are on His. He's got a purpose for why He tells us to do what He's told us to do. And when it's darkest out, and that'll make more sense here in a moment, when it's darkest out, the light is able to shine the brightest. This is coming from a man who understood. The Apostle Paul, it was dark. Spiritually speaking, he was probably in a dark prison cell many times, but he was shining brightly because he was strong. Strength of commitment. The Lord said they tried to go anyway. They went presumptuously up into the hill. God was not with them. They suffered a great defeat. Then verse number 46 says, so ye abode in Kadesh many days, according unto the days that ye abode there. Then they begin to wander in the wilderness. Strength carries, but strength charges forward. Strength charges forward. What we need is some leaders at Open Door Baptist Church, some men and women of God who believe God, who trust God, who are willing to obey God and willing to charge forward for the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 7, verse number 21, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, put your burnt offerings unto your sacrifices and eat flesh. For I spake not unto your fathers, nor commanded them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices. But this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people. And walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you. Obey me. But they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels and in the imaginations of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward. Since the day that your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt unto this day, I have even sent unto you all my servants the prophets, daily rising up early and sending them. Yet they hearkened not unto me, nor inclined their ear, but hardened their neck. They did worse than their fathers. A generation of people that should be strong, that should be leaders, that ought to be showing the way. Oh, I'm so thankful for some baby Christians that are in our midst, some immature believers that are sort of trying to figure some things out in the Christian life. But I'm saying this morning, do they have somebody they can look to and say, I can follow that person who's charging forward for the Lord? Somebody. Somebody who's seen God work in their life and just say, I'm going to trust God and obey Him. Even when it goes against popular opinion. Strength of commitment. Strength that'll carry. Strength that'll charge forward. Number two, I want you to notice the sufferings of choice. The suffering or the sufferings of choice. We see there in 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Verse number 3. Notice what it says. Thou therefore endure hardness. He speaks to him as a son first, and he says, son, I want you to be strong that you might be able to help pass on this most important message to others. Then he starts speaking to him as a soldier. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Did you know that when you received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that when you chose Jesus Christ, you were chosen as a soldier? And a soldier is one who must endure suffering. Must. Now, oftentimes the suffering is not what we think it is. We automatically think of physical suffering, and there may be some physical suffering that comes along our way, but oftentimes that suffering is the suffering that comes as a result of us following the path that God has set for us and it going completely contrary to public opinion. Let me mention some very popular public opinion in today's day. How about the theory of evolution? That's not a new one. It's been around a long time. But if you go against that, you say something to the effect that God created, that God made, you are going against public opinion. May I say this? There's a new theory out there called critical race theory. It's another theory. And if you go against it, Christian friend, you are definitely going against public opinion. You better figure out what this junk is all about. From Satan himself to try to divide and conquer and tell us that there are certain people that are born racist. That is a bunch of junk, folks. We are all born with a sin nature. We've all fallen in different ways. We all have proclivities in and of ourselves to err in ways, but there's nobody born with a racist gene. You see children play together all the time. They do fine together. But we adults want to tell them they're racist. That's hogwash. And we have so-called churches that are teaching and preaching this junk straight out of hell. It won't happen at Open Door Baptist Church. By the way, if you've got young people in the public education system, you better get involved and figure out what they're teaching them. You better talk to your teachers. You better talk to your principal and get involved. And make sure that the principles are those that are Judeo-Christian. There was a day where that was what was taught in our public education system. But we've been chosen as soldiers. He says you are to endure suffering as a soldier. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner. But be thou, here's the word, partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. When was the last time we suffered affliction for the gospel? For the gospel. I'm not talking about we were afflicted because we were sick. I'm not talking about we were afflicted because there is some pandemic or epidemic out here that is ravaging people. I'm not talking about that. I'm saying we were afflicted because of the gospel. Be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. But now is made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Praise the Lord. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. Notice this. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I know whom I have believed. I know that my soul is safe in his keeping, and whether I die at the ripe age of 38 or 68 or 108, the Lord's got me. You make whatever decisions you need to make concerning these things. I thank God there are, you know, vaccines and there are medicines and we have doctors and hospitals. But folks, where are people that would say, the Lord has said you are to do this and I will do it. I'll obey the Lord. Trust him. Suffering may come along because it differs from popular opinion. Chapter 2, verse number 8, we read it. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Why did Jesus die? He died because of the gospel. Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer. They called Paul an evildoer. You Christian people, I don't recommend social media a whole lot, but Brother Rowe put out a post that was just excellent. It was an article concerning this critical race theory. You better read some of these things. What they are saying is that white Christian men, you are the oppressors. We better wake up as Christians. We better go on the offensive for the gospel, for the word of God. We better pass something along to the next generation, or our children are doomed to failure. Pass something along to my children that was just easy and convenient for me, and they never saw me take a stand and suffer for the Lord, even when it's unpopular. That's how we pass it along to the next generation. But we're convenient. We're trying to be safe. I'm not opposed to being safe. Just follow the Lord. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with Him, we shall also live with Him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He also will deny us. Boy, those are some strong words. But if we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. Suffer for the gospel's sake. We looked at Deuteronomy chapter number 10. Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse number 15 talks about this choice, this suffering of choice. Say, Pastor, I didn't realize when I got saved that this is all what comes with it. Well, aren't you thankful the Lord didn't show you all of that? You may have never gotten saved. And although it seems very hard on this side, it's nothing compared to the glories of eternity. Nothing. Not even a drop compared. But God is gracious because He knows we're weak. And so He doesn't show us all the hardship and all the trial, at least not in this generation. I think in the Apostle Paul's time and the time of the apostles in general, those folks saw some suffering, didn't they? To call yourself a believer in that day, to be baptized in that day, to identify with Jesus Christ in that day. But today, boy, we have it easy. Deuteronomy 10, 15, only the Lord had a delight in thy fathers to love them, and He chose their seed after them. Even you above all people as it is this day. The Lord has chosen us as believers. 1 Peter chapter 2 says, we are a chosen generation. We are undeserving. It is only by the grace of God. But along with that choice comes suffering as a soldier. And so we can either endure hardness or we can become entangled with the affairs of this life. Endure hardness or be entangled with the affairs of this life. Do you remember the children of Israel? They were entangled with the affairs of this life. You say, how do you know that? Because every single time that it got a little bit rough or things were not like they used to be, they begin to hearken back to the most trivial things when you think of it eternally. For instance, in Numbers chapter 11, they said, oh, would to God we remember the fish and the leeks and the onions and the garlic that we had in Egypt. Yeah, you were in bondage. You were in oppression. But now all we have is this manna, this simple manna. Isn't that amazing? All through the Word of God, this thing about bread is used. Jesus says He's the bread of life. Matthew chapter 4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Matthew chapter 6, 9 through 11, give us this day our daily bread. What is this talking about? I'm living daily for the simple things that God would give me. What does God say, Matthew chapter number 6? I'm going to provide your needs. But what do? We get entangled with the affairs of this life. One more bill here, and one more toy here, and one more this here, and one more that there, where we are so entangled with this life, we have a hard time being a good soldier. The strength of commitment, the suffering of choice. Let me close with this one. Striving for the crown. Striving for the crown. He speaks to the athlete in 2 Timothy 2:5. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. God tells his people over and over again. He actually gives them laws. Deuteronomy chapter number 5, there is this recounting of the law that God has given. All the ins and the outs, starting with the Lord is first and not worshiping any other gods, and going on to how we are to be toward our fellow man, all those different laws. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse number 22. These words the Lord spake unto all your assembly in the mount of the midst of the fire, of the cloud, and of the thick darkness with a great voice. And he added no more. And he wrote them in two tables of stone, delivered them unto me, and it came to pass when you heard the voice out of the midst of the darkness, for the mountain did burn with fire, that you came near unto me, even all the heads of your tribes, notice this, and your elders. These are the folks that should have been strong. And ye said, behold, the Lord our God has showed us his glory and his greatness, and we have heard his voice out of the midst of the fire. We have seen this day that God doth talk with man, and he liveth. Now therefore, why should we die? For this great fire will consume us. If we hear the voice of the Lord our God any more, then we shall die. They are completely afraid. For who is there of all flesh that hath heard the voice of the living God speaking out of the midst of the fire as we have and lived? Go thou near, Moses, and hear all that the Lord our God shall say, and speak thou unto us all that the Lord our God shall speak unto thee, and we will hear it and do it. And the Lord heard the voice of your words when you spake unto me, and the Lord said unto me, I have heard the voice of the words of this people which they have spoken unto thee. They have well said all that they have spoken. Oh, that there were such an heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. Go say to them, get you into your tents again. But as for thee, stand thou here by me, and I will speak unto thee all the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which thou shalt teach them, that they may do them in the land which I give them to possess it. You shall observe to do therefore as the Lord your God hath commanded you. Ye shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. Striving for the crown, how are we to strive? We are to strive lawfully. This has to do with our sinfulness. And understanding what's in us, it is not just that we become fearful and afraid because times get tough and tests and trials come. Folks, that's just a part of life. It's always been. But here's what occurs. Between those tough times and the sin that's in us, it makes it awfully easy to go to the right hand or to the left instead of going forward and being obedient to the Lord. At some point, we've got to look inward and we have to understand, boy, I've got some issues in my heart. Isaiah chapter 30, verses 1 through 3. Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me. And that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. They're not only doing the wrong thing, they're taking the counsel from the wrong people to boot. That walk to go down into Egypt and have not asked at my mouth, to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. I'm not saying you shouldn't trust the CDC or any other experts that are out here, but let me ask you this. When was the last time you asked the Lord, what do you want me to do in this situation? God, what do you want me to do? I'm not upset with anybody this morning, but folks, I'm telling you, we are prone to wonder. It's easy. And the circumstances of life make it all the much easier because of the rebellion in our hearts, this flesh that we deal with. So what does God tell us? He says, learn the rules and live by the rules. Think about the athlete. The man strive for mastery, he's got to be temperate. He's got to learn the rules of the game And as you learn the rules of the game and the ins and outs of the game, you know what? It doesn't just apply to the game. We've got a young person here that plays soccer pretty good this morning. I hear pretty good. And you know what's interesting to me? I look at these athletes. Well, I thought sports was hard, and you know, we can talk about all the major sports and all of that. One day, I went out and tried to play soccer. That's a big field. That's a big field. And it's not only that you learn the rules of the game itself, you know, where you need to be and stay and you'd be out of bounds and all the different terminology that goes along with that. And there's a certain way that you're supposed to kick and hit and headbutt the ball and all. I'm using the wrong terminology, but you understand there are rules that apply to the game. But then those rules spill out off the field, don't they? If you're going to be a decent soccer player, you can't simply go out and eat, you know, McDonald's and Wendy's and fast food all week long and just lay around and relax and never exercise. You might know the rules of the game. You might even know how to implement the rules of the game when the game starts, but you won't be prepared to play. God says we got to strive lawfully. And you know what happens? What God has told us to do, the work that He's called us to, it begins to affect every area of our life. Not just when the game is on, not just when there's a time to witness for the Lord or be a light or be a testimony, but it literally carries through to the whole of our lives. God helps us how to understand how to strive for the crown and to win the crown, to be a victor for the Lord. What am I saying this morning? The husbandman, the farmer that laboreth, that works, he's got to first be partaker of the fruits. We tout the fruit that God gives us through the Christian life, and He is a wonderful God. But isn't it time for us to teach the next generation the way that Israel was supposed to have done? And the way we do that is by living it. There's a verse in Romans chapter 5 that uses a word. It's the only time that I'm aware of in the King James Bible that the word is used. Romans chapter 5, verse number 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. Not just what is to come, not just who our God is, but we glory in the tribulation, the suffering that the Christian life brings. Knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience, notice this word, experience. It's the only time that it's used in our Bible, experience. What do we say about experienced people, experienced soldiers, experienced athletes? Boy, they have learned, haven't they? Oftentimes the hard way. They've had a great victory, they've had great defeat. But they've learned through it all to just continue on and to press forward. And they've learned how to strive lawfully and to be temperate. They've learned that suffering's going to come. They've learned how to be strong, how to build their muscles so that they can be faithful in that sport or what have you for a long, long time. What do we need? We need some experienced Christians in 2021. Who have learned that they can trust God. You see, experience leads to hope. Hope. I think this is part of what God is saying in 1 John 5:13. These things are written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Pastor Taylor, it doesn't take very much faith to get saved. You know, you can be like a child, have a faith of a child, get saved. Yes, absolutely right. But as you grow in the Lord and as you begin to walk the Christian life and you experience victory and defeat, because of ourselves and the world in which we live and all these things that we see, we become more and more experienced as we go through those trials and tests. What happens through that process? We learn we can trust God even more than we did the day that we believed on Him for salvation. Then we can pass that on to somebody else. You know, I saw something the other day that struck me in a way that I probably have seen this before, but I don't know that it ever struck me the way it did the other day. I was driving, and I saw a passenger plane, I believe it was a passenger plane, a large one, in the sky. It was the day that we had storms, and I'm thankful that the storms didn't get any worse in our area, basically some rain, and that was kind of the extent of it. But it was a dark and dreary day, and there were gray clouds, and the skies were very heavily overcast. And I saw this passenger plane flying in the air, and it was flying, I would say, relatively low. If I were to guess, I thought maybe it was a quarter of a mile in the air. I mean, it wasn't very far away from the airport. And I watched as this plane flew into the clouds, and it was gone. It disappeared in the clouds. I began thinking about that little by while, and I thought to myself, what an amazing thing. This monstrous plane, now it looks small, even at that distance from the ground, but this monstrous plane, this powerful, loud machine in the sky just disappeared in the gray clouds. You know, spiritually speaking, we look around, we see a lot of gray clouds gathering more and more. And somebody as monstrous and as loud and thunderous is our Lord God. Sometimes it seems like He disappears in the clouds. But may I say this? I imagine, I didn't see anything blowing up or anything, that plane made its arrival. You can trust God much better than the folks that were on that plane could trust that although they couldn't be seen in the clouds, they'd make their arrival. I like what Psalm 18:11 says. He, God, made darkness His secret place. His pavilion round about Him were dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. I think about the messages that Pastor Bush has preached over the last couple of Wednesdays concerning the man Stephen and others like him who've experienced very hard trials because of their faith. And I'm just telling you, folks, it seems like so often we have so many accounts of this in the Word of God in history, that so many times God is not seen and felt the way that He is in the dark clouds. When times are tough, when the world is not going the same general direction as we're going. What am I saying? We must first be partaker of the fruit. If we're going to be a good husbandman after our Lord, who is the best farmer, the best husbandman, then we've got to partake of it ourselves. And there's going to be tests and trials and suffering and all those things in the Christian life because of the gospel. But what it will allow us to do is what the Apostle Paul was saying to Timothy there in verse number 1, the things that thou hast heard of me, you commit those to others who will be faithful to commit it to others as well. What does Open Door Baptist Church need? We need leaders who will first be partaker of the fruits. You won't shrink away. There might be some times where you get worried and get afraid, but we will be more like Joshua and Caleb than those other unknown 10 who said, "We are not able," when God said, "You are able." We need leaders that would lead the people and say, "We're charging forward." You maybe haven't gone long enough, seen long enough to know that you can trust God, but you follow me, young person. Let's go soul winning. Let's go to church. Let's read our Bible. Let's pray. Let's witness for Jesus Christ. You follow my lead. It's going to be all right. And lead them so that they can be the next generation. God will have a witness in the world. Let's pray together this morning. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I pray that you would take these, Lord, these thoughts, these ideas, make them applicable, Lord, to all of us, our daily life. Lord, you've been so good. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, and you are. Israel saw it. They saw how good God was and how quickly they shrunk back from pressing forward for God. Lord, we need people in this day and age, Christian people, who would just decide, we've seen God work before, and we'll trust Him to do it again. And Lord, my heart goes out to some of these young believers, immature believers. They've just sort of gotten involved, and Lord, they're looking for somebody to lead the way. Somebody to say, I'll take the risk. God's given me a command, and I'll go for the Lord, come what may. So that we can have the next generation of people that would serve you, be a light for you. Help us, Lord. Give us wisdom in these areas. Lord, help us to strive lawfully. Help us to come to terms with the rebellion that's in our own hearts. We might, Lord, seek you and love you, serve you and obey you, regardless of what man says. With every head bowed and every eye closed this morning, I want to ask you this question. Are you a child of God this morning? Are you a believer? Have you been born again? You have received Jesus Christ personally as your Savior. Maybe you're here this morning, you'd say, Pastor Taylor, I'm not sure about that, but I'm concerned about it. Would you pray for me? Is there one like that? You just lift your hand right up, right back down. I'll pray for you. Greatest need you have, if that's you. Could I pray for you this morning? Nobody else looking around. Just want to pray for you. I'll do that. Let me ask you this question, Christian. We live in some tumultuous days. They're not the worst, but they're certainly not the best. I hear from my forefathers that they're not the 60s and the 70s and the 80s when churches like ours were, quote, blowing and going, unquote. And maybe we've shrunk in some ways because of fear, because of the opinions of the so-called experts, and we're just afraid to sort of speak out and go for God and be obedient. Maybe you're a believer here this morning, you'd say, God has spoken to my heart about these things this morning. Pray for me. God has spoken to my heart. Pray for me. Hands up all over the place this morning. Let's pray. We'll have a time of invitation. Heavenly Father, I pray for, Lord, us. Lord, you know how weak we are. And we're only going to be strong in you. We won't be strong in and of ourselves. I pray we would be faithful to trust and obey you. Follow you. Oh God, help us. Help our church to remain a lighthouse. And Lord, the only way that works is if there's a new generation that comes up behind us and realizes they can trust God. Lord, I don't know how long you'll tarry your coming, but if you tarry, I pray there will be a next generation, but we've got to have our leaders show the way. May we do it. Lord, I didn't see any hands concerning salvation, but if there is somebody here this morning who doesn't know you as Savior, I pray they'll get it settled right now during this invitation time in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you